page 239, Joshua chapter 24. Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nahor, lived beyond the river Euphrates and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the Euphrates and led him throughout Cana and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I assigned the hill country of Seir to Esau, but Jacob and his family went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there, and I brought you out. When I brought your people out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued them with chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea. But they cried to the Lord for help, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea over them and covered them. You saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. Then you lived in the wilderness for a long time. I brought you into the land of the Amorites, who lived east of the Jordan. They fought against you, and I gave them into your hands. I destroyed them before you, and you took possession of their land. When Balak, son of Zippor, the king of Moab, prepared to fight against Israel, he sent for Balaam, son of Beor, to put a curse on you. But I would not listen to Balaam, so he blessed you again and again, and I delivered you out of his hand. Then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. The citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did also the Amorites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, Gargashites, Hivites, and Jezuites, but I gave them into your hands. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you, also the two Amorite kings. You did not do it with your own sword and bow. So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build. And you live in them and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the river Euphrates and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord."
Brilliant, thank you. What I've got here is pictures of some of the events that Joshua was talking about. So some of the ways which God had been working in the lives of the Israelites. And what I need is 12 people, so to come and hold up one of these pictures each, please. So children, young people, adults, I just need 12 people to come up. So who wants to come up and hold a picture? Brilliant, we've got one. Need a few more. Come on, we need some young people and some kids. Not that you guys aren't young, obviously. Okay, a few more. Brilliant, thanks, Irene. Santorini. Okay, two more. Oh, I don't have any unicorns, sorry. Brilliant. Thank you. Okay, hold your pictures up nice and high so everyone can see them. Irene, hold it really high. Really, really high. There we go. And now what we need to do is, I've got the order a bit mixed up. So what we're going to need to do is we're going to peg them up on this line behind you in the correct order of the events as they happened. Okay, so this is going to test your listening skills, whether you were just listening to the passage and also your Bible knowledge. So grab a peg and then peg it on the line in the order that it was appeared in the passage. Go. The audience can help out if you think they're doing it wrong or right. If you've got the passage open in front of you, you might want to help them with the order. Okay, one more minute.
Too many cooks. You're just giving up, Ellen.
Okay, go and have a seat. Okay, go and have a seat. Yeah. Don't worry, go and sit down. Right, do we think they've got it right?
Yeah.
No. Okay, what's wrong?
We can't, yeah, read them out.
Okay, so at the beginning we've got Abraham. I think that's right. Are we happy with that? Okay, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Good so far. Joseph. Yeah. Then Moses with Pharaoh. I think we're doing well. Egyptians defeated. Manna in the wilderness. Are we all happy with that? Okay. Then we get cities. Where did that come in our passage? With the vineyards. Okay. So what do we think comes after manna? Have a look in the passage. So options, we've got Amorites, Jericho, Balaam's unicorn, as it will now be known. What do we think?
Balaam's donkey.
Yeah, so Amorites is next. And then these two. Just the wrong way around. Brilliant. Well done. Well, the point of this is that the Israelites were saying, well, okay, Joshua, you're telling us to trust God, but what has God done for us? And then he recounts all of the past history of the Israelites and says, look, this is what God has done for you. So God has proved himself to be powerful. So some of these events, like when the Egyptians were defeated, when the Israelites went through the Red Sea and God parted the sea for them, that shows God's power. And God has also proved himself to be faithful or trustworthy. God doesn't lie. And so he promises that God made to Abraham, that Abraham would be the father of many nations, came true years later, and the promises were fulfilled. So God has been faithful, and in so many other ways we can see in all the stories that God was faithful to his people. And so the question is asked, will you trust me? God says, I've done all of this. You can see how truthful and how faithful I've been. Will you trust me? So verse 14 to 15 we just read are going to come up on the screen. And it's what Joshua is saying to the people. Here we go. He says, the bit highlighted, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. So we were thinking that game about the beginning. Who are we going to trust? And Joshua says to the people, who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve the idols, the pretend gods, the things that lie? Or are you going to trust the God of Israel, the God who is powerful and who always keeps his promises? Well, we're going to continue to think about this a bit later on. And we're going to look through the rest of the passage. Before we do that, we're going to sing. So we've been talking about the King of Kings, the God of Israel, who we can trust. And that's what we're going to sing about now in King of Kings, Majesty.
David's going to come and read the second part of the reading, which is on the same page, so Joshua 24.
Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the river Euphrates and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord, our God himself, who brought us and our parents up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you. But the people said to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said, You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord. Yes, we are witnesses, they replied. Now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord, our God, and obey him. On that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people, and there in Shechem, he reaffirmed for them decrees and laws. And Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law of God. Then he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak near the holy place of the Lord. See, he said to all the people, this stone will be a witness against us. It has heard all the words the Lord has said to us. It will be a witness against you if you are untrue to your God. Then Joshua dismissed the people each to their own inheritance.
Thank you, Alex and Maddie. It's easy to be bamboozled by choice, isn't it? And I'm bamboozled every time I walk into Cafe Nero. Or Cafe Constantine, as it is. It's like our brains get overloaded and then they go pop because there's so much choice and we don't know what's going to be best, do we? The latte sounds good, the cappuccino sounds good, but the cappuccino with cream and caramel syrup at £10.60, that must be the best because it's so expensive. And then you sit down and you decide with your cappuccino and you think, I wish I'd had a flat white. Or is that just me? In the days of Joshua, the Israelites appear to have been overwhelmed by choice as well. But for them, it wasn't about what coffee to buy. For them, it was what God to worship. These words in chapter 24 we've just read, right at the end of the book of Joshua, they're the final words of Joshua before he died. They come after God has done all these things for his people, right from the days of Abraham all the way up to the present time when they were living in cities they didn't build and eating out of vineyards they hadn't planted. But still, the people were confused about who to follow. They could choose, you see, to worship the gods of the ancestors of Abraham, who worshipped other gods, or they could choose to worship the gods of the Amorite people, the land where they were living. But God had done all they could choose to worship the Lord God of Israel, who had done all these things. The Lord God of Israel is one who keeps his promises. He doesn't lie. He can be trusted. So it should have been a clear-cut decision. Should have been easy. Look at all that God had done for them. Whilst the gods of the Abraham's ancestors and the gods of the Amorites were simply idols. They were made by human hands out of stone and gold. And here I have, walking in front of the loudspeaker, I have my idol, my golden idol. I just set it up on the idol plinth here. There he is. I know he's an angel from Christmas, but no, for today, he's idol. He's an idol, right? Okay. So there we have my idol, and I've lost my place. Yes, there you go. So faced by God, who made the people and did all these things, or God made by human hands, who are they going to choose? Well, for us, it seems like an obvious question, doesn't it? But actually, the problem is that the idols of Abraham's ancestors and the idols of the Amorites didn't seem to the people to be complete losers. Lots of people actually believed in these idols. They believed that they could make them happier in some way. So the people wanted rain. Well, they had the rain idol. If the people wanted love, then there was an idol you could go to give you love. If the people wanted children, then you could go to the children idol. So here we go. So for the first time since 1976, we've had a long, hot summer. I remember 1976. I was there. And all you gardeners have been saying for weeks now, oh, we desperately need water for the garden, haven't you, Andrew? Yes. You've been desperately needing water for the garden, you see. We need rain. Just give us some rain. So you turn to your rain idol. Here he is. We call him Indy Rain. And you pray a few times to him, and you make a few offerings, and he doesn't speak back, because he's a statue, so they don't speak back. And he doesn't demand anything of you. He doesn't ask you to do anything. But it's said that if you pray enough, then it will be rain. And look, it's raining. So Indy works. Isn't that wonderful? So then you worship him a little bit more, you see. Now today, we don't go in so much for the statue idea. But that doesn't mean that we don't have our idols. Because they keep falling over, these statues. Where the Bible talks about sinful desires, it actually talks about over desires. So in the original language, but the New Testament was written in the Greek, what's translated as sinful desires is actually the word for over desires. So there's nothing wrong with desiring something like, I don't know, let's, I feel like a new car. It'd be lovely to have a new car. I would like a new car. My car's alarm keeps going off in the middle of the night. So, it'd be lovely to have a new car. There's nothing wrong with desiring a new car. But when the desire to have the new car means that you think you're going to be so much more happier if you just have a new car than, well, God could ever make you happy. Or when having that new car becomes so important to you, it becomes more important than following Jesus, well, then that's become an idol for you, isn't it? Some people say when you turn a good thing, like a new car, into a God thing, so it becomes more important to you than God, that's when you have an idol. So idols are anything that become more important to us than God. Idols promise to make us happy. Idols always promise things. They always promise to make us happy or to do something for us, but they don't keep their promises. They are liars. Like Philippa was lying to us all earlier on. I was very confused because Daniel had such a guilty look on his face. I was convinced it was him lying. But idols are liars. They don't keep their promises. Or at least the effect of their promise doesn't last very long. It satisfies us for a little while, but doesn't last. But God always speaks the truth, and he always keeps his promises. Have a look down at verse 14 and what Joshua says to the Israelites. He says, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away your gods and serve the Lord." Now, when Joshua said that to the people, I imagine them sort of thinking to themselves, well, actually, I quite like my little idol who brings me rain. Because he doesn't demand anything. It's not too much hard work, really. And he works, he brings rain. But the Lord God, he wants my total devotion. He wants me to obey him. He wants me to obey him in every area of my life and to serve him. But all I want is a little bit of rain for my garden or a new car. And in the car don't ask very much from us. They don't ask for much in return. They just promise me instant happiness. So Joshua imagined what they were saying, and he challenged them, is saying in verse 15, he says, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you," so I can imagine the people sort of shifting in the, you know, from side to side, looking a little bit embarrassed. And Joshua says, "You have to choose." He says, "Then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Will it be the gods of the ancestors of Abraham? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites where you're living?" So they were overwhelmed by this choice, just as we are today sometimes, because they could choose to worship so many different things, as we can choose to worship relationships or houses or cars or holidays or status or whatever it might be. But Joshua says, "But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord." Now, many years later, do you remember when we were reading Philippians recently, the adults at least, we were reading Philippians. And in Philippians, Paul says in chapter 3, he says, "But whatever are gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ." Well, why did Paul make that decision? Why did he count everything that he had before, which was a lot, as rubbish, as garbage, compared to following Jesus Christ as Lord? Well, at the end of Philippians, he says this. He says, "My God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." My God will meet all your needs according to to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Paul says various times, a number of times in Philippians, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord." Again, I will say it, rejoice. And the Israelites answered Joshua in verse 16. They said, "Well, far be it from us to forsake the Lord, to serve other gods." In other words, who, us? Who, us? No, we always choose God over the idols. We always choose gods, all the time. Why do you ask, Joshua? And Joshua was asking because he actually knew them. Joshua knew that they didn't always obey the Lord. They might say that they believed in the Lord God because of all these things that he had done. In fact, they say that in verses 17, 18. But Joshua knew what they were like. They knew that whatever they say, sometimes they don't serve him. So Joshua is suspicious, and he should be, because he knows their track record. So he warns them. He says, no, if you're going to choose God, if you're going to follow God, then you need to obey him. You need to service him. You need to serve him. So he warns them. And in verses 19, 20, he says to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. Now, they didn't like this very much because they preferred to worship Indy, who didn't demand very much. But actually, something Joshua had said had touched them. And he said, and they said to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. And Joshua says, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord. And yes, we are the witnesses, they replied. So Joshua tells them to throw away their gods. So into the dustbin they have to go. You have the dustbin? Would anybody like to come and throw away our gods? I'll do it. Away with Indy. Away with the car. Into the dustbin. Now, why do we do that? Well, it's a sign of our repentance, isn't it? It's a sign of turning around. It's a sign of turning away from the idols. And as you turn to God. Because God will always keep his promises. He will always do what he says he will do. So are we prepared in our modern-day lives, I wonder, to throw away our idols? Are we prepared to turn to God and to serve him with all of our hearts, our soul and our minds? To love him with all our hearts, our soul and minds? Are our words of belief going to be followed by actions? Paul also says in Philippians, he says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. You see, that's the big promise, isn't it, that God has made to us. He said, I've done all these things in the past, but in the future what I'm going to do is I'm going to raise those people who put their faith and trust in me from the dead, and they will have new life. So we turn to God, and we follow him, and we throw our idols in the bin, and we say to God, I want to follow you, I want to choose you. Let's just have a moment of quiet, and then I'm going to pray, and if you want to pray along with me, saying sorry for the idols that we follow, then please do so. Dear Lord God, we thank you so much that you keep your promises, that you are the promise keeper, that you have kept your promise to Abraham and to Moses and to Joshua and to each one of us here. We thank you so much that in Jesus, all the promises that you've made in the past have come true. We thank you that we can turn to him and receive forgiveness and love and resurrection from the dead. So, Lord, I pray that we would turn from our idols, and we're sorry, Lord, when we have considered other things more important than you. And, Lord, help us to turn from our idols, to turn to you, and to follow you, to choose you with all of our hearts. In the name of Christ, amen.